Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January the 23rd, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're on page 14, the fifth paragraph, While I Lay in the Hospital, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Tenzin T, 12 Traditions, Mary B, and readers of the text, Rick J, Tamara C, and Judith S. P. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, January the 22nd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23149. That's 23149. And the 10 a.m. meeting, 23150. Overeaters Anonymous Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Tenzin T is going to read our 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin T checking in from Puebla, Mexico. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Mary B. has the 12 traditions for us. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Lynn. I'm Mary B., grateful compulsive overeater. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mary B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 14, paragraph 5, while I lay in the hospital. And this morning, Rick J. is going to start us off. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. What a beautiful paragraph. This, to me, is the spiritual spark of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not in the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel, but just in a hospital bed in the mind of an alcoholic laying in the alcoholic ward who has had, unlike anything he's ever had, a spiritual experience that Ebby passed on to Bill. Bill passed on to millions through Dr. Bob, and that ultimate pay it forward. You know, that pay it forward is to give something to someone, not to the person that gave it to you, but to someone else. And that altruistic movement is, you know, we help others so that in turn they may help others. You know, and it's so mind-blowing for me to think that they in turn might work with others. That's the most beautiful thought of all. You know, like me. Those others include me and you. And we in turn might work with others. Yeah, spiritual spark that was ignited back in December in Manhattan in the town's hospital, you know, it is a spark that I hold to give to someone else. I'm just one of millions of people out there in different 12-step programs. You know, we got the gift of Overeaters Anonymous through Roseanne, who got it from Gamblers Anonymous, who got it from Alcoholics Anonymous. And we never know what will become of that spark that we carry that we give to someone else. We just hold that spark, that spiritual spark, so that we may live in freedom and give it to someone else so they can too, and in turn give it to someone else so they can too, ad infinitum. And it's just a beautiful thought for me, sitting here recovered, you know, 90 plus years after that spark was, and to have this gift. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that we all get to experience together. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J., for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share, please?
Tamara C.
Okay, there was somebody before Tamara C, but I couldn't hear who it was.
Lisa C.
Lisa, gotcha. Okay, so I have Lisa C, Tamara C, Nancy P, and who was that other voice, please?
Janet B.
Janet. There's a lot of crackling coming through with you too, Janet, in there. Okay. So we've got Lisa C, Tamara C, Nancy P, Janet B. Who else would like to share this morning, please? Boy, I'm sorry. I'm just hearing crackling on that last voice. Who was coming in?
Ken W.H.
Hi, Ken.
Hi. Christiana
okay.
K.
Somebody K, please.
Christiana K.
Christiana. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Lisa
Dorita.
C. Okay,
Dorita
I got
P.
you, Dorita. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is our lineup. Thank you. Lisa C, Tamara C, Nancy P, Janet B, Ken W.H., Christiana K., and Dorita P. Lisa C., good morning.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service and for a wonderful lead share, and all of you, all the time. You know, I mean, it's just such a beautiful moment. I know it's like said a lot, just about like how this program came together and sort of like the miraculous nature of like certain people being in the right place at the right time to make this program come together. But I think like this is one of those moments, you know, while I lay in the hospital, the thought came. And I think that like that phrase is used in the book a few times, right? The thought came. And to me, that comes from being, you know, being tuned into my creator. And that comes a lot from the 11th step, right? I mean, the way the steps work in order, on purpose, in a certain sequence, really helps them lead one to the next, to the next, to the next. And then circling back again to one. but, you know, the way that step 11 here, that intuitive thought, you know, that quiet time where the mind is clear and I can hear what my higher power is saying to me, all kinds of wonderful things come from that. And this is such a profound example of this idea that others could be helped, and that maybe it's the purpose of getting well is to really reach others. And I think that, you know, It's just so gently written too. It's not like, you better do this or else you'll go back to the food, Lisa. You know, like that kind of mentality is fear-driven. It doesn't work for me. But this idea that I can gently move through the world as a recovered person today and share openly with a fully open heart, with kindness in my heart, with love behind all of it, everything that I did, as my sponsor told me, and worked with her, and pay it forward, and extend that love and that sort of the miracles of this program to others, whether they're in the program or not, but absolutely in the program to make myself available. It is absolutely one of the prime ways that I stay in alignment with my higher power. And it is such a gift. And so if it's something that you are working towards right now, or you're not sure about, when the time comes, if we are clear and we are connected, we will have that intuitive thought that it is right and good to move forward in this way, to help others without being afraid, and without being driven by fear either. And just such a beautiful opportunity. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Thank you very much, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Next up is Tamara C., followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. What had been so freely given me? When I first came to OA, I did not go to any meetings that studied the big book, but I did hear, like, to keep it, you have to give it away. And I found that the idea that we must help others created a fellowship of generosity. I loved that. And I found a lot of love and generosity among the friends I was making in the rooms, and self-sacrifice too. My heart has often been overwhelmed by the love I've received and the grace and the self-sacrifice of my sponsor. My sponsor has a family. She works full-time. She even has a second job. And she has given so much of her time to me and continues to meet with me on a regular basis and help me while she's now taking others through the steps, through the big book. And I've thought, like, how can I ever repay her? And the truth is, I can't. It was a gift. It is a gift. Freely given, and she doesn't want anything in return. In fact, when I've tried to, you know, thank her, like, oh, thank you so much, you're helping me so much, she has said, Tamara, you're saving my life. So I want to have this too, this gift of self-sacrifice for others without expecting anything in return, except that what I get is exactly what my sponsor told me. My sponsees are saving my life. And this thought, perhaps I can be helpful to another compulsive eater. It filled me with a sense of usefulness and of purpose. I do find that for me, because of part of the way that my disease manifests, is that I have to watch out for the savior mentality. When I think I'm somebody's higher power, then I take it personally when they recover, as if I had anything to do with that. And I take it personally when they don't recover, as if I could have made them recover. And so it just helps to remember I'm an addict. I'm a recovered addict, but an addict. And I can just show up, share my experience, strength, and hope, and just create space for them and their higher power to find the path that they're meant to be on. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tamara C. Next up, we have Nancy P., followed by Janet B. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Thank you for letting me share. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So I love this paragraph because it's the clearest indication of a transformation as any in the book. You know, a few short pages ago, Bill was unmindful of his friend's welfare. He thought only of recapturing the spirit of other days. And today, in this paragraph, he says, maybe I can help other people. They might be glad to see, to have what has been so freely given me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. I mean, it's impossible to quantify how complete that is to me, you know, like, because I've lived that, and I didn't realize what had happened to me. You know, I had a conversation with my husband once, and I said something selfish that felt justified, and he said two words or three words. He said, "Me first, huh?" And I was shamed, but I couldn't change. I was ashamed, and so I stopped talking about whatever it was. You know, I stopped mentioning it. But I never forgot that sort of, you know, humiliation of being put in my place by somebody who just didn't feel that way. And, you know, there was no way for me to act generous and kind. And, you know, it has to be genuine. I mean, for me to maintain it, you know, prior to my own transformation, I had the odd moment of generosity and kindness and patience and you know, sympathy and all that. But it wasn't, you know, that wasn't who I was. And, you know, the only answer for me was to shut my mouth and keep swimming. You know, when are we going to get to England? Shut up and keep swimming. I didn't know. I just was doing what I was told, following the directions in the book and moving forward. Until one day I woke up and I was all the things that I wanted to be, you know, most often all the things that I wanted to be: kind, generous, honest, patient, have integrity, dignity, sympathy, et cetera. And, you know, that was, of course, not my doing. It just happened organically. You know, I'm agnostic, so I don't care about God or anything, but they talk about this indication of transformation. And the first time that I became aware of that still makes me shiver. But even more significantly, when other people began to tell me that I had changed, then I felt like I could kind of take it to the bank. And, you know, it started when I called my friend sobbing in my car over my donuts. And you know, she told me about this meeting, and I have not had to hurt myself with food since the first day I dialed into this meeting. I cannot believe that was over 8 years ago. And today, you know, it's all part of, you know, the machine of who I am and how I act. And it started with one thing and one thing only. Everybody say it with me: surrender, surrender, surrender. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nancy P. Janet B., good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So I love going through the big book and for paragraphs where it doesn't mention God, looking for his fingerprints. And here we have it. Bill's in the hospital and the thought came, well, where did it come from? Like, thing like me, he could care less about helping another person. I certainly didn't. I just wanted the magic bullet food plan to stop binging. But right away, like, he's in the hospital, so he is newly sober, right? Like, and it's like, gosh, he doesn't even get to dry out pretty much. But there he is in the hospital. The thought came. God is already directing his thoughts. And what's he telling him to do? To really go out and find people to help. Well, why? Like, why would God do that right away? You know, and I think about the place in the big book where it says, we are sure that God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. So he's really saying that by helping others, that's how you're going to be happy, joyous, and free, right? In the beginning of working with others, it says, frequent contact with newcomers and each other is the bright spot in our lives. Well, gosh, how could Bill go? How could I go from only caring about myself and just wanting to come around here for like the magic food plan or to dry out, to stop drinking, to stop binging, to people who are happy, joyous, and free in helping others? The only way that could happen is by God. By God coming into like our hearts and doing a renovation job. You know, I think at the end of page 150, the guy who wrote Two Employers, he says, I have enjoyed every moment spent in getting them straightened out. Joy in helping others. It's like our joy returns to us as we do self-sacrifice to help other people, right? God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Well, I can't just go out and pursue happiness, pursue joy. It doesn't work that way. But when I pursue God through these 12 steps and help others through these 12 steps, the guaranteed result, right, is God coming into my heart and life in a way which is indeed miraculous. And when he does that, when he did that for me, how could I not be happy, joyous, and free with this great sense of purpose to carry this message that God is alive and well and still in the search and rescue business, still in the miracle business, and he gave us a roadmap through these beautiful 12 steps. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Ken W.H. followed by Christiana K. Please go ahead, Ken.
Well, good morning, and thank you. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I'm struck, but here's Bill, and he's laying in the bed, and he has a thought. A thought comes, and the thought is very altruistic and looking out. And I'm thinking about later in the book, we talk about Jim. And Jim was sitting around doing nothing or trying to eat some lunch, and he suddenly, the thought crossed his mind. And that was to put booze in milk and be okay. This is that was an in-the-moment kind of decision or non-decision for Jim, whereas Bill here is in a different kind of time zone as far as the way I like to look at it. And I think of Greek. The Greek language has a wonderful way of differentiating the two kinds of time moments here. For Jim, it was Chronos time. It was how you look at your watch and say, it's lunchtime. I think I'll have some milk with some scotch in it. And that's what the time is. We look at our watch and chronologically put things in order. And then there's another word for time, and it's called kairos. And it's like the fullness of time, the time, kind of like a time beyond time comes from God. And it's like the moment. It's what's meant to be in that moment. And I think that's what Bill experienced. He had a kairos moment. It was time for that thought to come into his mind to start thinking outward. And that's a special, special moment when that happens. That's a time you can't plan. You can't think yourself. I can't think myself into that moment. It's when God says, Ken, it's time. It's time. It's time for you to move on. It's time for you to be different. It's time for you to be mine and to do as I will in your life rather than what you want to do today. I may have a whole nother plan for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? And that's kind of what I think happened to Bill. And I'm glad that I've had that experience myself. It's a special moment. You can call it a God time. You can call it just the fullness of time. It was the time for Bill to have that thought enter his mind in the midst of his recovery and his detox and everything else. And I'm grateful to be here. So it's time for me to now say, I pass. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you, Ken W.H. Christiana K., it's your turn, followed by Dorita P. Good morning, Christiana.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, moderator. Happy Friday. It's a beautiful day to be abstinent. I got so much out of what everybody shared so far. It's amazing. I was not even going to join the call. For me, also, I came to OA from a sister program from AA, and I came with decades of sobriety, like a lot of us knew. And it took me a while in the sister program to see, wait a minute, I did the steps and staying sober and going to meetings, and this is not just so I can have this beautiful life. The purpose of this is so I can help others. It took me some time to. I thought the purpose of it all was just so I could have a great life and stop killing myself. And Well, part of it, right? Purpose to stay abstinent and help others achieve abstinence. And in OA, that was you would think that I would know by then, right? But it was the same also. I came and the thought of thinking about others is not an intuitive thought for me. It takes conscious effort. I have this beautiful life so I can help others. And as has been said in the call, not everybody wants the program. You know, not everybody, they want the magic wand. Or just the food plan, and the food plan without the spiritual program is a diet, right? Diets work for normal people and they never work for me. And it's okay too. You know, as my sponsor says, you're responsible for carrying the message, Christiana, not to make sure that they get it. And if, as long as I stay abstinent and work the steps and work the program, I have a chance at changing other people's lives. And there's other work too. Working with others is not just sponsorship, is doing service, right? It's putting the chairs up or coming here and moderating and sharing, and the spirit, our experience, strength and hope. So I'm grateful to be abstinent, and I'm grateful that this beautiful gift was passed on to me by somebody who somebody else took the time to pass it on to them. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Christiana K. Dorita P., it's your turn. Welcome.
Thank you so much for the service. My name is Dorita P. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege.
Dorita?
Yes.
There's an awful lot of background noise.
There's nothing in the background.
Okay, let's try again. Thank you.
Can you hear me okay now?
Yep, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, what about now?
Yes, it's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I'll put my phone on my pocket. That's what I'm doing. I'm sorry. My name is Dorita Pippen, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody did not get this opportunity for whatever reason, and so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Every time we talk about the altruistic movement, I mean, it kind of brings tears to my eyes, you know, to, excuse me, I guess to even want to think about somebody other than myself. You know, I see it all the time that, I guess it's true, I don't know, or maybe it's true because I say it so many times, but we're born selfish, I believe. I mean, when I care for children, I don't have any of my own, but I care for many children. And I just think about a two-year-old. And anybody that knows a two-year-old knows that a two-year-old wants what he or she wants when they want it. And that's the way I was, and that's the way I'm, that's my default. And I really appreciate the share right before me where I have to actually make an effort to not be selfish. Just to give you a quick example, I have a friend who needed some help yesterday. Well, actually, he didn't ask for my help, but I surprised him with my help. He's in the process of moving, and he was going to pay a guy, which was a discount too. He was going to pay a guy $75 to clean his apartment so that he could get his deposit back. But I thought it came to my mind. So it wasn't really me. It was God that put it in my mind to surprise him even. Though I had to let him know when I was like on my way over there, because I was going over there anyway.
Dorita,
so yes.
I'm really sorry. There's so much background noise.
I don't know why it is.
Okay.
Okay. Is it okay now?
Yes, if you've got about 30 seconds left. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, I surprised him. Of course, I couldn't surprise him. If I'm coming to his place, I couldn't surprise him without letting him know. But anyway, to make a long story short, I volunteered to help, and that's not my default. Default is go ahead and do what you need to do, Dorita. You got so much to do. You're in the process of moving yourself. And so I'm just really grateful for this program because just for today, I'm asking it. Just for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. from Ohio. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we are continuing our study of the Big Book and Bill's story. And we're on page 14, the fifth paragraph, while I lay in the hospital. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lori G.
Jen
M.
Okay, I heard Lori G, and then I heard Jen, I believe.
Jen F.
Hang on a second. You both came in at the same time. I'm sorry. Jen, can you say your name again, please?
Jen F.
Jen F. Okay, and who else was in there, please?
Jane F.
Goodness. Okay, so we have Lori G, Jen F, Jane F. Who else would like to share this morning?
Deborah M.
Erin P.
Okay.
Robin P. in Nashville.
Okie dokie. Let's go with this lineup, please. I've got Lori G., Jen F., Jane F., Deborah M., Erin P., Robin P., and when you come on, could you please let me know where you're calling from? So, Lori G., good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Lori G. in Colorado. I don't know that I can say anything new or different to add to what's already been said, but I just felt like I wanted to share because I am not on the live meeting very often. But I do listen every morning to a meeting. And I am just so grateful to be here, and I want to share with others just like others have shared with me. I wanted to say that recently I don't want to say lost a sponsee, but a sponsee decided to stop working with me, not in a negative way, but anyway, that happened. And so I thought, now I need to find a new sponsee, which is always a little bit of a challenge. And so I kept praying, you know, God, help me to find another sponsee, another person to take through the steps. And someone came up to me at a meeting Wednesday and asked me if I would sponsor them. And I just felt so grateful and blessed that God did that. I mean, it doesn't always happen that way. It has before, but usually I'm the one that goes looking for someone or puts my name out as available sponsor, whatever. But I don't know, this time just felt so beautiful that someone, and it's somebody that I've known for a while, and so that kind of makes it an extra blessing. She's a beautiful lady. And anyway, I just feel very blessed that I can keep carrying the message to others. And I've been here. I am recovered. I've been in program for 30 plus years. I think it'll be 31 next month. Although I have not been recovered all of that time. I've been recovered around 8 years, I believe. And a lot of that is thanks to this meeting. So anyway, thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for being here, and have a wonderful, blessed day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lori G. from Colorado. Now we have Jen F., followed by Jane F. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, everyone. Jen F. from New Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater. Newly recovered, I will say. So this paragraph really hit well. The thing that jumped out at me was a few things. One is that it talks about the freely given me. And it made me think about all the pay and way and the different things that I've done in the past and how much money, thousands and thousands of dollars that I've thrown towards trying to get something that I could never have gotten from what they were offering. And then I come upon OA and I'm given this free gift. I'm given this free gift of a program to get me to the place of recovering. And even more importantly, the free gift of having an amazing sponsor that's going to take my hand, share their encouragement, strength, and hope, their experience, walk me through the big book, walk me through the steps, and get me to the place where I'm truly living in the freedom. I mean, I'm just so overwhelmed with that and how much more it makes me in turn want to turn around and do the same thing for other people. And so on page 132 this morning in the big book, in the family afterwards, it says, if newcomers could see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't want it. We absolutely insist on enjoying life. And that is what I have found in coming even to this meeting and just hearing from all of you how much you're enjoying life, how much you're enjoying walking in your freedom. And that has been such a source of encouragement and hope for me. And so I'm just so excited as a newly recovered compulsive overeater to turn around and start sponsoring people and to be just sharing and just connecting and enjoying life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jen F. from New Jersey. And now we have Jane F. Good morning, Jane. Jane, please press star 1 to unmute. Okie dokie, why don't we move on to Deborah M. and we'll come back to Jane F. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, hi. I'm here, Deborah M. Recovered today from Western New York. When I was reading their paragraph, the word hopeless really jumped out at me. You know, Bill had just been through, we read in the previous pages his life and how low he had come, and he was hopeless. And that's what he's thinking of, the thousands of hopeless alcoholics. I mean, I remember so clearly, and even at times in the program, when you pick up the hopelessness that comes with it, the despair, the fear, and thank God there was always a sponsor there to bring me back to the big book, to bring me back to the simple way that Bill recovered. And just for me, always to remember those hopeless days and where I am now is such a gift. And I don't want to forget the hopelessness. And when I work with others, I hear that hopelessness in them. And those are the ones that I think really are ready to surrender. So that's really all I wanted to say, is how sad and wretched it is to be hopeless. But here is the answer. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that was Deborah M. from New York. Okay, let's try again now. Jane F., are you available?
Yes, I hope so. Can you hear me?
There she is. Yes, we can. Yeah. Good morning. And where are you calling from, Jane, please?
My name is Jane S., as in Sparky, and I'm calling from Florida. I hail from New Hampshire, but snowbirding in Florida, and so I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for your shares. What a beautiful, beautiful last few days. I mean, this is just such powerful work, and unpacking it one paragraph at a day. I absolutely love this group and the way it works. It has helped me so much to progress in my recovery. And it's just such a reminder. I love the lead here who talked about the spark, the spiritual spark of AA. And that just, it brought almost tears to my eyes. My nickname is Sparky. So when I hear the word spark, it just kind of just set my mind in motion of how powerful it's the simplicity. It's how this program works very simply. We stay sober or abstinent and we help another who needs to find their way or wants to find their way. Let's put it that way. And is willing to do the work. And you know, the part that did stick out to me, same as many people here already, freely given, you know. And, I, you know, it is freely given, but I paid a price for so long trying to figure it out myself, you know, with all the, you know, pays and ways and psychologists and psychiatrists and do's and don'ts and schemes and designs and all of that. It wasn't until I let go and let other people into my life and surrender to a higher power who I didn't even know was doing for me what I could not do for myself. And so for me today, being recovered and living in a recovered state of mind, I can help other people and help them for the right reasons, not for selfish reasons for myself, but because I'm actually honoring this gift that God has given me. God has given me this gift, and each morning that I wake up, the first thing I do is thank God for waking up again because I have another day to seek His will and to possibly help others. And I'll end with this. When I was in my hospitalization from this disease about a year and a half ago, I had been in the program for years and tried so many different ways and sponsors and food plans and all of that. I found someone who I wanted asked to take me through the steps this time. And one of the things that she asked me early on was to turn to page 89. And she read, you know, to me, she said, practical experience shows that nothing, so much will ensure immunity from drinking or compulsive overeating is intense work with other alcoholics. So there's our answer. There's our solution. Our solution is God. That's where the power comes from. Then we get the gift. And then to keep the gift, we have to keep giving it back for the right reasons, not to keep ourselves sober, but to help other people. So for that, I will pass and thank you everyone for this meeting.
Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. Now, Aaron P., good morning. It's your turn, followed by Robin P. Hi, Aaron.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm Aaron P., a recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. While I lay in the hospital, I did not get in for the first 10 or 15 minutes. I don't know if someone shared this, so I apologize if I'm repeating, but it's just really a profound reflection that, you know, Bill is really, really, really early in his experience of recovery. He's literally still detoxing. At least that's what it looks like. And so that gives me a time frame of when I'm ready to start helping others. You know, I don't have to wait 6 months. I don't have to, you know, have a certain degree or, you know, have done, you know, aside from like getting started in all the steps and including step 9, I'm going to be working on my ninth step, perhaps some of these for the rest of my life, if God allows the time for me to do some of them. So there are no conditions where God is saying, like, I'm not going to give you the next instruction for how you can be helpful, or, you know, you're just going to have to sit and wait. In fact, it was the opposite. And that's been my experience. It wasn't until someone really taught me about step 12 and the importance of being helpful even early in recovery. As I was getting recovered, my sponsor was having me call newcomers because I had a deeper understanding of my problem, that I had a two-part illness. And a lot of people, just they're still focused, and I was too, on just fixing the food, not understanding I had a mind that drove me so crazy that I would have to take that first bite if I didn't treat the mind, which then had to be addressed by spiritual method, because my mind was blocked off from spiritual help. So, you know, just getting into that groove really early on, and no matter how I feel, no matter what my mind is telling me, you know, because I have a mind that will tell me you're not qualified, you don't have perfect whatever. And that's not helpful to a compulsive eater like me, who, you know, will then just wait until I feel better and never feel better. And the opposite has happened. As I've helped others, I've gotten better. So I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Aaron P. from North Carolina. Robin P., welcome. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Lynn. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Franklin, Tennessee, in the Nashville area. And I'm just so grateful to be on the meeting this morning. And, you know, I was thinking it's such a God thought. You know, it's such a blessing to have these God thoughts. And when I was in the food, I could never hear that voice saying things to me because I was so blocked and because I was worshiping another God, which was food, which never worked well, as you know. And it's such a miracle blessing today. I feel very connected to God, and I hear things, that still small voice that says things that are so helpful. And I believe that that's what Bill was starting to experience, was having those God thoughts. And, you know, that's the seed, you know, those mustard seed thoughts. And that's the seed of AA, as has been mentioned. And I'm so eternally grateful. And this thing works. It still works after all these years because of these steps and because of these traditions. It's so divinely put together. And I'm so grateful that Bill listened, because then the next person got to listen, the next person got to listen, we all got to listen and then be of service to God and our fellows. And, you know, I thought I was retired in Costa Rica, and I kept feeling like God was saying, you don't retire your gift. You're not done. Go live. Go serve with your gift that I gave you. And I had starred on Broadway for a long time in my 20s and 30s. I'm in my 60s. And I had become an inventor, and then I retired, I thought. And God, I believe that God is leading me to sing again. And where that is where I'm showing up. And I've been getting a lot of inspiration. And when we were in London, and I've been auditioning, the way that I can get my visa is to audition for master's programs in musical theater in London. And I've been auditioned online for two of them, and one more is in person in New York City in February. And all of this is such a miracle. If when I was in the food, this, I would never, ever in a million years show up and be vulnerable like this. And I've had to go back to dance class and dance jazz for the first time in 30 years, and I mean, submit dance videos, singing, monologues, like all of this is so positively vulnerable, which is the antidote to shame. And all of it's from listening to God. And I am so grateful and to be showing up fully in my life today. And I'm thrilled, no matter what happens, I'm showing up and being of service. And I'm so grateful for all, and I learned all of this through working the
program. Time, please.
Thank you. God bless all of you with a very blessed, abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. We've got 2 minutes left on the clock. Who would like to share, please? Anybody?
Kate F.
Kate F., please go ahead. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Kate F., recovered in Washington State. Thank you so much for the lead share. You know, we started this page with a father of light. And I just love the image of a spark. The thought came, which made, you know, it kind of sounds like it was all of a sudden. But this has been stirring in Bill for so long. And the spark, you know, originating with God and then freely given through the examples of Dr. Silkworth and Ebby. You know, we talk about our own sponsor lineage. What a lineage Bill had to not only listen to the thought, but then also to think, how am I going to implement this thought? We started the page also with self-centeredness, the destruction of self-centeredness. And now we're coming to the bottom of the page with other-centeredness. It just, for me personally, just having finished step 12 really inspires me and gives me courage and faith, and just excitement and joy to share the message. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Kate F. Thank you to everyone who shared today on our meeting, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, January 23rd, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23152. That's 23152. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Tamara C., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yep, Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.